Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Hi, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering podcast. I'm Lynette Ezell. I'm joined today, as always, by my dear friend Tara Melber. We each are the mother of six children, and we each have three adopted children. Tara, we've been doing this together for 15 years.
Very long time.
A very long time. And together, you know, with our husbands, we were asked by the Lord to broaden our tent, to mm-hmm. widen our home. And I know with that, to bring in older children, smaller children, foster, to adopt, can bring some fears.
It really can. And we have to not be fearful when the Lord asks us to be obedient to something that He's prompting our heart to do. We have to just say, yes, Lord,
right,
and be prepared to do whatever. That doesn't mean we're going to have all of the answers on the front end, but it does mean that we're prepared to be obedient. That's how the Lord asks us to show our love for Him, is to choose to obey and trust.
And, you know, we talk often about just the simple people God calls out mm-hmm. in His Word. You know, you look at the Old Testament, and I was thinking about Isaiah 41:13 today, where He said, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand."
That's right.
"My strong hand. He takes hold of me and says to me, 'Do not fear. I will help you.'" Mm-hmm. And so the reason we're wanting to do these podcasts is maybe to just share from some mistakes we made mm-hmm. or some fears that we had, and we realized they were, you know, they really didn't have a foundation, because God was He's in control of all of this.
It's just like the example of God taking our right hand, of us reaching down to our little toddler and saying,
"That's good.
Hold my hand, sweetheart. We're going to go this way." They don't have any perception of what's coming either mm-hmm. way, but you, as their protector, lead them and guide them into a way that protects them, and to know this is where you're going and I'm taking you and you can trust me.
Well, Tara, we talked last time about the five myths that in adoption that kind of can be fears. And so we wanted to lay those on the table and continue talking about five more today that you and I felt important. Since we've been doing this so long, we thought here are 10 myths that if we can just talk about them, you know, maybe they won't be so big and worrisome in people's minds as they're entering the waters of adoption or foster care. Maybe you're in it now or you're about to enter it. So the first one we wanted to talk about is that our adopted child will always be grateful in their loving home.
Well, I always ask when people say things like, "Oh, your child must think that they've really
yes.
hit the jackpot."
Yeah.
And they say that in front of the child, and the child's looking
so
at
embarrassing.
Me, and I'm thinking,
it is.
Oh. And people don't necessarily mean a thing by that. It's actually, you know, they're not meaning it in a negative way. But
right.
when the child always feels like, "Oh, I have to be grateful for this life that I've been given when I just got in trouble 15 minutes ago for, you know, being sassy about something."
Mm-hmm.
So our biological children don't wake up every single day and say, "Gee, Mom, I'm really glad that you're my mom, that I'm in this family."
Exactly.
They're not going to always be grateful. And honestly, when you have a little one, as they grow and develop and they're trying to, you know, own their birth story and figure out their life, just as your own children, your biological children are not always going to feel grateful, neither are your adopted children.
Right. That's right. And so I also found that these children are grieving a loss.
They really are.
And they're dealing with grief. We're so excited to get them in our home, mm-hmm. and all this is so new to them. You know, just the way that your daily routine runs, and all of that's so new to them. And so because they're grieving a loss of maybe their biological family or the home they were in, or that they can resentment will probably surface, because this child is dealing with just so much newness around them, and that here's what we found adopting an older child, that we're in their business, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? We care about the test.
Right.
We care about your schoolwork. We care about the nutrition, you know, what kind of food you eat and if you're getting nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
All that was really new for one of ours,
right,
who had kind of had to take care, you know, of himself for so long.
And especially when you do bring home an older child,
yes.
whether it's through foster care or adoption, many times, because the children were in difficult situations, they have had to be the ones in charge of their own life.
Right.
They really haven't necessarily had to answer to anyone who
uh-huh.
was holding them accountable for things. And so that resentment can build. But even the grateful portion of that as well, our daughter has told this story many times. She would tell it to you if she was sitting right here. Most years, when it comes around to the time that she came home and we're celebrating the remembering of when she joined our family, it was always an exciting time. You get to pick your dinner. We don't do anything really other than that except be grateful that she's part of our family and get to have a special dinner for her. But most years she was very excited, and I will never forget when she was about 10 years old, I said, "Hey, sis, what would you like for your dinner tomorrow night?" And she said, "I don't even want to talk about it."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Well, what do you mean you
That's
don't want to talk about it?"
Right.
And she said, "Well, Mom, you know, the only reason we're celebrating tomorrow is because something terrible happened to me when I was young."
Yes, yes.
And that was very eye-opening for me, and I really hadn't thought about it. And she'd been in the home for a few years. Mm-hmm. But the next year when the, you know, anniversary rolled around and I said, "Hey, sis, how are you feeling about that this year?" And she said, "Oh, I already know what I want for dinner." So,
wow.
You know, every year is a little bit different. So
yes.
As they're developing and growing and they're remembering, then we just have to give them some grace.
Right, right. And it's harder, I feel like you said, for older children to realize that we're not a family on television. We asked our son, you know, "What was the biggest change when you came home at 11 to our home?" He really thought, because he had just seen television about
right.
America, that we were like a family on the Disney Channel. And we are far from that. And he thought that he would get up every day, get on his bike, run around a
and
neighborhood.
And there'd be music playing in the background.
Exactly, exactly. And that he would run around the neighborhood and no accountability. And
right.
He would, you know, just whatever he wanted to do. And life doesn't look like that.
That's right.
And so I remember sitting with him on the side of his bed one night, and we were talking about some things and some things I really cared about, and he was kind of caught off guard that I wanted to talk about certain things with him, just normal, you know, things with moms and sons. And I remember looking at him in his sweet face and saying, "I just don't know how to not care."
Right.
And so that's been an adjustment for mm-hmm. him. He loves it, you know. He feels secure, but mm-hmm. it took a long time to adjust to the fact that lives in a home that cares and that loves. And I remember one time we were riding bikes together when he first came home, and my husband had been traveling, and he looked at me and he stopped his bike. He said, "You know, Mom, sometimes dads leave and they don't come back."
Mm.
Now that had been after like 4 months he'd been at home.
Right.
And I was just alarmed. I thought, your dad always comes home.
Right.
You know, but that was still worrisome in his mind mm-hmm. that his dad, you know, would not be coming home.
And we can't really take it personally.
No.
So if a child comes across and they don't feel grateful and they're upset, then there is generally more to the behavior.
Yes.
So we get to the root of the issue as what's causing the behavior, what's causing the resentment or the anger of not really being very grateful to be a part of the family at all. And many times it's just there's some root issues that they're just trying to hash out.
Yeah, and one of our things I noticed was our food was a big adjustment for all of our children.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a hard hurdle to get over when you bring in children that have been in another situation. So if you're fostering, maybe they've just had fast food
mm-hmm.
or maybe they've had, you know, just hot dogs and you want to bring in all this nutrition, or
mm-hmm.
they're adopted internationally, they're used to totally different dishes.
Mm-hmm. And they look at what you've prepared and go, ugh,
yes.
Bleh,
yeah.
I don't want that.
We had one little one that when she just smelled certain things mm-hmm. that were normal in our home, she would just start crying. Like,
right.
You know, she just wanted a potato all
right.
the time. That's what she was used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it can come across as, I don't like this home. I don't
mm-hmm.
like what's going on in this home. But that's not it.
Right. And one of our mantras that we say all the time is you just have to be the adult in the room.
Absolutely.
And not get your feelings hurt over
uh-huh.
over everything. And we've often, you know, had other parents and counseled with other parents as well and said, when that attitude comes across, to be able to say, I understand that you're feeling upset about
mm-hmm.
what I'm serving for dinner. But the way that you responded to me is not going to work here.
Right.
So let's talk about what you're really thinking, and then we'll reevaluate what we're going to have for dinner.
Right.
But you can't yell and scream, and you can't say, I hate that food. You can say, Mom, that's not how I remember it. Mom, I don't really like that food in my mouth. And sometimes when they're younger, they're not going to be able to verbalize that.
Right.
But when they do come across ungrateful, to be able to train and teach, just like you did if you have biological children, when you're training and teaching them, this is how you respond, not in a negative way, but to be able to use your words. I've said that 1,000 times. Use your words.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use your words loudly and scream at me. Use your words and talk to me about what you're feeling. And Dr. Purvis from TCU often says that as well. Would you like a redo? Let's stop. Would you like a redo? And sometimes I've had to say, I'm going to need you to stop and take a deep breath and not speak right now and gather your thoughts and tell me what you're really thinking about. And then we'll work through it.
Yes.
But not in this way.
Yes.
So,
and if I could tell adoptive foster moms something, too, that I've learned is give attachment seasons.
Yes.
Go through the seasons of life.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a good year where you go through what your family does in the fall and
right.
how busy things
they
are
don't
at school.
Know.
They don't know. Go through holidays with extended family together. Just, you know, just be very patient
mm-hmm.
and just give them, you know, just give them a break.
Right.
Give them space and just be very loving and patient in that. You were talking about, Tara and I talk a lot about being the adult in the room. That hit me one day when one of mine was pitching a fit, that I'm not chiming in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be the adult here. And so our next myth we want to talk about is I could never feel resentment or unattached to my adopted child because I'm an adult.
Right.
I shouldn't ever feel that way. Right.
Well, that's what we hope in our sanctification. If we were really where the Lord had us to be at the very end, then
right.
we wouldn't feel that way, but we're human beings.
Right.
But we do have to take every thought captive,
that's
as the
right.
Word says.
Right.
So, you know, there's a quote that says you can let a bird fly over your head, but don't let it make a nest in your hair. And so when your child is grumpy or screaming or says, I wish that you weren't my mom or you're not my real mom, when they say those things, if they say those things, to be able to say in your head, this is coming from a hurt place.
Yes.
This is not, you know, it's not an affront against me, and I have to be able to help them work through whatever emotions that they're having, but not take it personally and not sit and dwell on it constantly.
Yeah.
The more you dwell on the irritations that you have in learning a new normal for your family, the less healthy it's going to be. And I do believe that's why the word does tell us you have to take every thought captive.
That's right.
Put off those feelings of resentment and read the word of God and put on those qualities that you're learning.
Because there's good days and bad days.
There are.
That's what you're saying. And so what Tara and I, the way that we encourage one another, or my husband and I build each other up, you know, when we're having a bad day, is that love is a decision.
It is.
And so today I'm going to decide to love this child. And so what we're saying is that just keep doing the motion.
Right.
Keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do the right thing with your hands next.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing the right thing. And eventually the Lord gets our emotions in line with
because
the right
we
thing.
Because we know many who've brought home, you know, children who weren't infants, or even people who have brought home infants, that as they're learning their new normal, they're thinking, they have asked us, what have we done?
Yes.
Like, this is not what I envisioned.
Oh, yes.
And then you feel the resentment of either I'm up again all night long and literally up all night long with no break, or I have a child that's pitching a fit that doesn't seem to be attaching to me, or, you know, my biological children are really struggling, or my family members are still giving me a hard time because things are not looking perfect. And if you sit and dwell on that, it's only going to bring bitterness in your life. It's not beneficial
That's
at all.
That's right. That's right. So love is a decision, and just keep doing the right motions.
That's right.
Absolutely. Even when you don't feel
mm-hmm.
like it. You know, we're emotional beings, and we've got to get that under control by the power of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
so that we can surround these children from vulnerable places with
mm-hmm.
love, and that their little spirits can calm down and learn to be loved.
Mm-hmm. And when you do feel resentment, I think that we oftentimes don't think about self-care, that you might need a break.
That's a great point. Yes.
You might need to say to your husband or the grandparents or a trusted friend who's already been in your child's life, listen, I need to go for a walk.
Right.
Could you please come over?
Absolutely.
I need a nap. I need a hot shower. I just need a break to gather my thoughts. And if you have to be able to do that, to be able to function well, you have to be able to take care of yourself, because the more tired and the more exhausted, the more frustrated you get, then those feelings of resentment build. And over time, it's not healthy for your attachment relationship or your relationship with your spouse or anything.
Right.
So you really have to, when you feel those things welling up within you, take time to spend time with the Lord, take time to take a deep breath and take care of yourself.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Well, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
Is that I did not think I would ever need, as an adoptive mom, outside help. A professional or just someone, you know,
right.
I just thought we could just do it. We would just hunker down.
Love conquers all.
Yeah, we wouldn't need any outside help. But it can be very difficult for children from hard places to express themselves through language.
That's very true.
And like you said earlier, you know, about the food issues, a small child, maybe English is their second language, mm-hmm. maybe they've come out of a very hard place, out of, you know, a very difficult biological home, they've been put into foster care. They've never even been given worth for their words.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they have learned to express themselves through statements? This hurts my feelings.
Right.
I'm not feeling well. You know, I know when we went to Ethiopia to adopt our daughter, I learned 7 basic mm-hmm. phrases in her language, and it helps so much. And I still struggled, but those 7 phrases helped so much so I could communicate with a 3-year-old.
Right. My sister is a counselor, and she's also an adoptive mom, and so she brings a lot of insight when I have struggled in the past. And one of the things that she often will say to a child who's struggling is, tell me what, you know, she'll lay out crayons and she'll color, and she'll say, tell me what color your heart feels.
Mm.
And does your heart feel red, and like the red face is a mad face, or a blue face is a sad face? And so she assigns colors to how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so because a child at 4 or 5 or 6 or 14 can't say necessarily, you know, that really hurt my feelings, or smelling that food that you prepared mm-hmm. made me think of my life before, and then they can't express all
of
that.
No, they can't, because those neurological pathways for language and communicating, they're crippled.
They are.
They're crippled probably due to poor social interactions, and those positive pathways just aren't built.
And it's a continual training. You know, our job as moms, as parents, as mentors, is to help guide these children
right.
to have the coping mechanisms and be able to express themselves in ways that are going to be healthy for them in their adult relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I tell our kids all the time, this house is training ground for your future.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you're struggling with now, Dad and I are going to try to guide you through that. But this is training ground, because what you learn here will help you in your relationships as an adult. So they're not going to have all those skills.
Right.
And it's our job to be creative to figure it out. And sometimes that requires extra help.
And, you know, just being personal, for our family, we had to get educational help.
Yes.
You know, we maybe had to get a teenager to someone they needed to talk
mm-hmm.
with. But I think the most important thing I can share on that is that make sure that it's solid biblical
mm-hmm.
counseling, and Christ is the foundation.
Right. That is exactly true.
And we found that to be very beneficial for us, and just for mm-hmm. seasons.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing as adoptive moms, fostering moms, why we really want to do these podcasts and reach out, is if we can help you in any way,
mm-hmm.
connect you with someone who can help your family unit stay together, to thrive, to attach,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a blessing.
It really is. And I think one of the things we have to consider is the reason that we're not accepting outside help or asking for outside help is, are we prideful?
Yes. That was my hurdle.
That is not fun to think, well, I don't want anybody to know we're struggling, because here I've championed fostering, I've championed adoption, and things are not exactly how I thought they were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the picture perfect family right now, and I don't really want to admit that we need help. And that's an issue, a personal issue, that is, you know, very detrimental to your child. You have to overcome that to say, I know that we need some help. When you were talking about the educational thing, we had a son who had never gone to school, and he was older when he came home, and so we had some
right. That's
some
very
educational,
common.
Very common.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing fantastic now. But the point is that I don't have a degree in special education resources. So
right.
when he didn't know even how to sit or hold a pencil, or, you know, had some things to do to catch up, I didn't know how to do that.
Right.
So I had to ask, hey, help me. I need a reading specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I finally bit the bullet, got some help, and now he is doing
thriving.
Great.
Absolutely. And, you know, think about it this way. How can you not expect to have struggles
right.
when you bring in children, when you broaden your tent
mm-hmm.
and you bring in children from all four corners of the
right.
earth, when God builds you this beautiful, colorful family,
mm-hmm.
how can we not expect struggles and not expect to, we need each other?
And that's what the body of Christ is.
Yes.
We all have different gifts, and thankfully the Lord puts people in place and we find the resources that we need. But ask the questions, look for the resources. One really huge piece of advice that we've found to be very helpful is before you even bring your child home, you get a list of
yes.
every resource that you can think of, because when you're in the middle of it, you can't even think straight.
That's great
so
advice.
So you can go
you
to your piece of
that.
Paper
yeah.
and go, okay, I need help with reading. Who can I call?
Right.
That was a huge help.
Huge help. And Tara and I both did that
mm-hmm.
before we were adopting. We'd made a list. I think our agency did help. Had us do that. And we even made it longer than
right.
what they asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And it really gave you a tangible thing to mm-hmm. hold in your hand and say, here's help if I need it. Here's where I can go.
And you did it when you were still thinking objectively.
And I wasn't exhausted. Exactly. Here's another one I want to hit on just quickly.
Sure.
Our fourth myth for today is that timeouts worked with our biological kids, and that will be the best form of discipline with our adopted kids.
I found that was not beneficial.
No, it's not, because most adopted children come from isolation mm-hmm. and loneliness anyway.
Right.
And to continue that is to say, you don't have worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's you against the world, buddy.
Right.
You know, and you want to bring that foster child, the adopted child, you want to bring them in close.
Mm-hmm. That's right. One of the things that we found was that many times adoptive parents or foster parents will say to us, I feel like our child is acting out, so that I would say, go to your room.
No, that's a good point.
And that is our natural tendency, because we might need a little break from the fit and they might need a little break from the fit. But it's okay to say, I'm going to need you to sit on the couch.
Yes.
In the same room. You're all in the same room. But instead of sending them away to a closed door, say, I'm going to need you to sit on the couch and take a deep breath. Or you may not want to participate in the game at the table, but we're just asking you to stay sitting with our family
mm-hmm.
or with the family, not mm-hmm. ours, as opposed to making them feel separated. But to keep an eye contact, or when they're having a moment, to be able to say, would it be okay if I just gave you a hug, and asking them permission. So, you know, just not isolating them or pushing them away, because many times that's really kind of their go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their comfort. If I can just do this, then I could go be by myself.
Right.
When you want to help them still feel included in the family.
Absolutely. I know when I was talking to a mom and she adopted a baby out of addiction,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing they had them do at the hospital was just skin to skin
yes.
to draw that baby mm-hmm. in closely. And on down the road, when this baby was going through withdrawals, one of the most important things that really helped
mm-hmm.
this little one, and as I witnessed this, it was amazing, was to wear that baby. You know,
all
so
the time.
That's the idea there.
Mm-hmm.
is to just help bring them in close and let them know they are loved,
mm-hmm.
they are secure, and you're not alone.
Right. One of the things, I know we've referred to Dr. Purvis a lot, but she's such an amazing...
Why wouldn't
she
we?
She was such an amazing woman. But one of the things that I remember her saying is, you know, when a baby is in the mother's womb, they know the voice, they know the heartbeat, they know all of that. And so when you're talking about wearing your newborn baby all the time, then baby begins to learn your voice and learn your heartbeat. And those are important.
Absolutely. Well, but the last one we want to cover today is just something that's a little sensitive, I think,
mm-hmm.
something you and I are really learning mm-hmm. as our adopted children are getting older and leaving the home.
Mm-hmm.
You've already had an adopted child
uh-huh.
launch.
Yes.
But that's that our adopted child will follow the conventional paths of development, meaning that they'll go to a four-year university
mm-hmm.
or, you know, this is also with our biological children.
Absolutely.
We have six children,
sure.
so all of ours are kind of doing it differently. I've got one on the West Coast.
Right.
I've got one that's been overseas. And they've all learned differently in life, and their educational paths look different. But if your foster children or your adopted children or your biological children, if they don't follow the path that you, that dream you had mm-hmm. in your mind, can you trust the Lord with it?
I think that's what's hard for us as moms, as we think we know what's the very best. And instead of trusting the Lord to say, just like your word picture of, I'm going to take your hand, trusting the Lord that He created them, He made them very uniquely. Mm-hmm. They have great gifts, and their strengths are the things that He's going to use ultimately for their glory. So helping them to kind of learn those bents and help them to be able to figure out different paths, and not to think, well, this is what I thought you would do, or this I think would be a better option for you, but to be able to help guide as they, just like with our biological children, as they grow, our job changes from trainer, discipliner, yes. to guide and coach.
Coach on the sideline, absolutely.
On the sideline. So helping them to be able to see their full potential and to be able to go after it. And then whatever it is that they decide to do, I'm sure that, you know, when your son that's on the West Coast, I'm sure when he was young, that was not your first thought was, I think he's going to move to out here and go to school out there.
Yes.
That wasn't on your radar at the time he was in the fifth or sixth grade. So being able to recognize their strengths and help them to understand who the Lord made them, and then letting them fly and not feeling like you have to stay in control.
So if you're about to enter the waters of adoption, how we talk all the time, mm-hmm. or you're considering foster care, look at these myths. If you want to connect with us, we'll have that in the show notes. But don't be afraid to tackle your fears, mm-hmm. or to say them, or to write them down, or to get help with them. And that was our goal today, in the past two podcasts, is to cover these top myths, and so that people aren't stuck in fear.
Yes.
Because we meet a lot of people who feel called to do this, to defend the fatherless, to broaden their tent and take children into their home, but they're stuck in fear.
Mm-hmm. And to lay these things before the Lord. I like what you said about writing them down. Lord, I am fearful of this.
Very good.
I am fearful of that. Father, help me to be able to find somebody that I can talk to about this, speak to me. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of us as believers, and the Holy Spirit guides, but He also puts people in our path that we can be able to bounce things off of and say, we have blind spots. I mean, mm-hmm. we just do.
We do.
So to be able to help us to understand, it's okay if, you know, your child is angry today. That this is kind of how you're going to kind of maneuver through that.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay if your family's struggling with attachment.
Yes.
That's normal. And let me reach out to someone who can help us.
Right.
Thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home. This is a ministry of the North American Mission Board. So you can email us, check our show notes at the end of our podcast, and we'll do our best to answer your questions, connect you with resources that you need, and pray for you along this journey. You're not in this alone. We understand your fears. We understand that this is a shaky first step, and that we also understand and we know that God equips us when He calls us to hard things. So you're not alone. You're part of a larger body of Christ who wants to be a resource for you. Thanks for joining us today.
You have been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit namb.net/sendrelief.